May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we trust in for salvation in all things. Amen. The text for our sermon today, this the 19th Sunday now after Pentecost, is the Gospel from Luke 17. Please pray with me. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Cause your mighty, powerful word to penetrate our minds, our hearts this day, for faith and repentance and understanding and power and strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Strange, odd, perplexing. These are all words that come to my mind when I read the gospel today. It's kind of an odd, strange, perplexing gospel lesson. In particular, there are three objects that Jesus uses to teach. They're all kind of odd. He uses a millstone hung around your neck. He talks about a mulberry tree being uprooted and put in the sea. And, of course, he talks about the mustard seed. All kind of odd, strange things. Maybe Christ is walking along the road teaching, and he points to the millstone and the mulberry tree over there and the mustard seed over there, the mustard plant over there. Object lessons. What can we learn from them? Well, let me talk about these three objects today and a lesson we can learn from each one. I don't have a millstone with me. Couldn't find a mustard seed. I don't have a mulberry tree here either to uproot and throw into the sea, nor do I have a mustard seed. But you can visualize them. The message of the millstone would be watch out. The message of the mulberry tree, reach out. And the message of the mustard seed, never doubt. Let me explain. First of all, we have the lesson of the millstone. And the lesson for us Christians, we the baptized, the lesson is obvious. Watch out. Watch out particularly to pastors, to teachers, to Sunday school teachers, to parents who want to teach their children, grandparents, all us adults who want to pass on the faith to children. Watch out. Beware. Don't you dare lead a little one into sin. By little one, probably means children here, obviously, but also maybe new converts, people that are weak in the faith, a bit vulnerable, don't know everything. Watch out, you leaders, you adults, you parents, pastors, teachers, watch out. Don't you dare lead one into sin. Or, be better for you, if you had a millstone around your neck and you're thrown into the sea? That's shocking, kind of graphic, isn't it? That's full strength law. Watch what you say, watch what you teach to the little ones. A millstone on the Lord's day was a common sight. That's why I say he might be pointing to a millstone over there that someone's using as he teaches. Big, heavy stone, hundreds of pounds used to grind grain. And the Lord says, if you disciples that are going to teach, and for us, you pastors and Sunday school teachers and parents that teach the faith, teachers, if you lead a little one into sin, it'd be better for you to have that hung around your neck and thrown into the sea than to face the judgment of the Almighty God. A quick death in water, drowning, would be better than eternal fire in hell. Right? I'd rather face the water real quick and die quick in the water than have the eternal fires of hell and eternal death. Graphic, full strength stuff here. Watch out. And when the Lord says, don't cause a little one to sin, it's an interesting word there in the Greek language. It literally means don't trap a child. The idea the Lord is using is a trap. He might even have a trap there for an animal he points to, too. Don't entrap a child like a hunter would entrap an animal. A trap, of course, enslaves a person, burdens a person. They're inhibited. They can't move like they want to. They're trapped. And they're probably going to be killed if it's an animal, obviously. But they're not free. Trapped, burdened, hurt. Don't do anything teaching that would entrap a little one. Or for anybody, for that matter. Now, question. What is the worst trap we can put children in or other people in which enslaves them and burdens them and restricts them? That trap, I would suggest, is this. Where you will not forgive them their sins. You won't speak forgiveness and teach forgiveness, which comes from Jesus. That traps a person in their sin. They're not free. They're inhibited. they're guilt-ridden, and they think that God hates them, wants to get them, and that you hate them too, and you won't forgive them. That's why the Lord, following that discussion, says in the next verse, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns and repents, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. That's why right after that, he lays out the trap, and the trap is that you won't forgive. Parents, you won't speak of Jesus in your family and forgive your kids. And pastors won't forgive, and we all, teachers won't forgive. That's the worst trap you can lay on a child, where you leave them in the guilt of their sin and make them think you hate them and God hates them and there's no hope. You're like a trapped animal. Free them, the Lord says. Speak forgiveness 7 times. 70 times, 7 times. Forgive and forgive and forgive. That's what you do to untrap the kid or whoever it is. Forgive. Forgiveness is rare in the world. In the world, you won't find a lot. They want to trap people. Get revenge. Hold a grudge. Get them back. Hate a person. I'm going to let them have it. That's the world. We're the church. We're the baptized. Forgiveness is common in the church. It's a common thing. God forgives us. You're forgiven today, the absolution, communion, forgiveness. It flows here, the forgiveness of all our sins by the blood of Christ. And so then we forgive each other. And when we forgive each other, it's not a rare thing. We forgive 7 times a day, 80 times a day. I don't keep track. I'm just a forgiving person. Above all, to the little ones who sin. Don't entrap a child by only being a legalist and law-oriented, do this, do that. Never tell the kid, God loves you, and I love you, and Jesus forgives you, and I forgive you. Jesus died for you. That frees them. You know, we all hate child abuse, and rightly so. It's horrible. Be it physical child abuse, sexual child abuse, mental child abuse. But let me suggest this. There's also spiritual child abuse, where you will not teach Jesus and the forgiveness of sins of your child. Parents, are you doing that? Teaching forgiveness and Jesus' love on a daily, common basis rather than just a rare thing you ever talk about? The millstone, watch out what you teach and say and do, leaders and parents. The mulberry tree, the lesson is reach out. The Lord says, if you have a faith like a mustard seed, I'm coming to that in a moment, you can say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. Now, why would we ever want to uproot a mulberry tree and put it in the sea? It's not literal. But it is quite figurative and symbolic. I believe the Lord here is saying that even with a little faith, disciples, the band of disciples, a bunch of fishermen and a tax collector and lowly men that don't understand anything at that time, they have a little bitty faith. That's why they cry out, increase our faith. We don't understand, Lord. Give us faith to do this. They're a weak band of men, and so we are often weak and doubting. But with a little bitty faith, you can uproot that mulberry tree and put it in the sea. He's talking about the mission of the church in figurative language. The mulberry tree, I suggest, is a picture of the cross. The mulberry tree is the cross. The Greek here doesn't literally mean mulberry tree. It means a dark tree that causes people to weep. And so we think it might be a mulberry tree. It might be a weeping willow. I don't know. But when you think about it, what is the tree where people wept? The cross. People wept there. It's the dark tree where sin's laid on Jesus. It's a beautiful tree too also because it saves us. But if you had, and the water that sees here represents the Gentile nations. For a Jew, the land was Israel and the seas out there were the Gentiles. Greece, Asia, Rome. And so when the Lord says to the disciples, with a little bit of faith in me, a mustard seed faith, you're going to have the power to take the message of the cross that I will die on, the message of forgiveness and grace and mercy, the mulberry tree, you're going to be able to uproot that from the land of Israel, because Israel doesn't want it anyway. You're going to uproot it from Israel and plant it in the Gentile nations. You're going to take it to Thessalonica and to Galatia. You're going to take it to Rome. You're going to take it to the ends of the earth. It'll be planted there and grow. The Lord here is talking about the book of Acts and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You little band of disciples, as weak as you are going to plant the gospel in the Gentile nations because Israel here doesn't want it. And we, First Lutheran Church, we too take the gospel, the cross of Jesus, and we plant it in our neighbor's heart, our child's heart, the co-worker's heart, and the people of Knoxville, Tennessee, the world, our job is to take the message of the mulberry tree, the cross, and plant it in the hearts of all people by spreading the gospel. And a small faith, by a small faith, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that very job. We can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So reach out, disciples. Reach out with a small faith. Evangelizing, speaking the gospel, is not just the job of a few elite people in the church that might have a stronger faith. The pastors might have a stronger faith or know more. Or the board of evangelism or the elders, a few people out there that are missionaries. It's their job to plant the mulberry tree, but I don't need to do anything. No, the Lord says, a small faith. You don't need a potato faith, a mustard seed faith, a little bit of faith. A child can do this. A band of disciples that don't know anything can do it. You can do it. As doubting and struggling as you are, with faith in Christ, you have the power to plant the cross in someone's heart. You know, they did a survey among 16 nations in the world. So a band of nations, 16 nations were surveyed about what their greatest fear was. And the greatest fear of people in the world is not speaking in public. It's not snakes. People's greatest fear in the world is loneliness. People are afraid of being lonely, not having anybody there for them. And I find that amazing because we live in this communication age where we have Twitter and Facebook and emails and texting and calling on the phone all the time, and you're lonely? People are afraid of being lonely, of really having somebody who really cares and loves them. It's there for them. Because families scatter, friends scatter, we all move around. Who's going to be there for me when I die, maybe? What an opening for the Christian church. You know someone who's lonely, feels unloved. There's a lot of people out there. You work with them. They're in their neighborhood. What an opening to tell them about what a friend we have in Jesus. You'll never be lonely if you have Jesus. He's by your side. He loves you, cares for you, died on the cross for you, rose again for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you'll never be lonely if you have Jesus. He's your best friend. And it'll take you to heaven. What an opening for the church. Reach out. The mustard seed, the final little illustration here. And the message of the mustard seed is never doubt, church. Never doubt the power of Christ to work even through a dinky, little, bitty, tiny faith. Christ can do all things through us. Never doubt the power of Christ. Never doubt the power of the Word. Never doubt the power of Him to do great things to a person with small, small faith. What matters here? What matters as a Christian is not the size of our faith. What matters is not how much faith we have. What matters is what we have faith in. Got it? What matters is not how much faith you have, but who you have faith in. And who do we have faith in? Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who has conquered sin. It's washed away. Death has been conquered. The devil defeated. All of hell defeated. We have faith in Jesus, the all-powerful one, the mighty one, the holy one. And so through faith in him, we can do all things. Yes, he'll do it through us. He'll do it through us. You have faith in Jesus, even though it be little. You have everything that Jesus has. You have faith in Jesus, you have everything that Jesus has. And you don't think you have much today? You think you're weak. You have forgiveness of your sin. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have power from on high that conquers all of hell. We have righteousness, holiness. We have eternal life, the resurrection of our bodies. And we think that we're people that don't have much? We got everything in Jesus. You have faith, though it's small. You have everything in Christ. A quick illustration to conclude. Which person would do more work in my backyard? All right, say I want my backyard mowed. I want the grass cut. And I have a pair of scissors. A really sharp pair of scissors. They're sharp. And I hold on to that pair of scissors. And I really grip that pair of scissors. I got that pair of scissors. And I'm cutting my grass. All right, I'm cutting my grass. But I'm holding on tight. And I'm going to cut my grass with that pair of scissors. Would I do more work? Or if I had a 7-year-old child, get on a John Deere 56-inch cut riding lawnmower. And that thing started up, and the mower's engaged, the blade's engaged, and they can barely touch the steering wheel. They just barely hold on to the steering wheel. They can barely see, and they're barely holding on. They're so little. But nonetheless, they're holding on, and they're mowing some grass. Who's going to do more? Who's going to cut more grass? Me or the little kid? The little kid. Why? I'm holding on to that scissors so tight, though. He's barely holding on. He's little. I'm big. What matters is what we're holding on to. I got a pair of scissors. He's got a John Deere 56-inch cut mower. Is there such a thing? I should ask the Chris Broyles. I don't know. Big mower. Even though he holds on loosely, he cuts a lot of grass. What are you holding on to in your heart? You're holding on to yourself, you're not going to do much. Holding on to your money, not going to do much. Holding on to your sports team, well, we all know we're not going to do much. Hold on to Jesus, be it loosely. You spread the gospel to the whole world. You take the mulberry tree to the oceans, to the seas. You forgive your brother 7 times today with a little bitty faith. So the millstone would teach us, watch out what you teach, what you pass on. The mulberry tree, reach out and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the mustard seed, never doubt the power of Jesus to work through a little bitty faith like yours and mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and confess our faith.